Craig Button, ace analyst from TSN, joins us as always on Fridays. Craig, how are you?
I am really good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, I was searching around, and before I came on, I always like to do a little prep on the young players. Has there ever been a case where the Ontario League or any major junior league's three leading scorers were all draft eligible, like what's happening in the OHL right now?
I can't think of one. McKinnon and Drouin a couple of years ago in the Quebec League come to mind. I mean, Gretzky and Bobby Smith back in 1978, but that was a very different draft, and it was a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they in their first year eligibility, not only are they draft eligible, they're not late birthdays. They're all true 1997-born players. So I haven't been able to find one, Jason.
Okay. Obviously, McDavid's the best of the bunch. A lot of people are like Strom, Marner. Well, you can tell me if you had to choose who you'd pick, but compare and contrast those two.
So I'll start with Dylan Strom. And to me, with Dylan, what you're getting is a number one center. I mean, that's what I see him as. I think he's got all the capabilities physically and mentally to be a number one center. He can score goals, or he can make plays to set up goals. And, you know, he's so adept at playing all the various situations in a game. And, you know, it's not just about penalty killing. It's about understanding that, you know, I need to be really good defensively here. We're going to have different challenges. Or I know when to take advantage offensively. The player that I compare him to, NHL style-wise. Now, I mean, and I always want to make that clear about that, is Anze Kopitar. Anze Kopitar is never going to be a 100-point scorer. He's led the LA Kings in scoring every year for whatever the last 8 years. And I think Dylan Strome is that type of a centerman. You know, he'll do the heavy lifting. He'll win faceoffs. He will contribute offense. You know, but you're never going to feel that you're at a disadvantage when he's on the ice, because there's no situation that can occur on the ice that he can't handle very adeptly and very capably. And that is a complete, you know, strong two-way centerman. And that, to me, is what Dylan Strome is. Now, I mean, you're dealing with 18-year-old kids when they get drafted in their draft year. So, you know, there's development that has to go on. And, you know, for Dylan Strome, he's got to get a little bit stronger in his legs. And I think that his skating, especially the speed, will definitely improve. But Jason, I watched Anze Kopitar in his draft, and there was, I wouldn't say there was questions, but what you looked at with Anze was, you go, okay, how good can the skating be? I mean, it's not even a question anymore. And that's how I see Dylan Strome. Moving on to Mitchell Marner, and I think Mitch is a very unique player. He's a playmaking winger, and you don't usually see wingers that are playmakers. His creativity, his ability to change on the fly, his ability to understand that's where I can take advantage, that's where I can exploit a situation, that's where, you know, I know that I can break down a defense. The other thing about Mitch is that he's incredibly patient with the puck. He'll let a play develop. And he may let a play develop that really nobody else sees.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, make the play. But he's thinking of a better play. And, you know, his lateral agility, his elusiveness, like he knows how to just kind of stay away from you. Like, it's almost like he's got this force field around him where you can't hit him and you can't get him. And, you know, people say, oh, he's not that big. Yeah, well, he's not a big hulking guy. But you watch the games and you never see him be able to, you know, body on body be taken out of the game, because he keeps defenders at bay. He keeps them off because of that. He can delay with the puck. He can attack with the puck. He can beat you with his hands. He can beat you with a shot. He doesn't have a great shot, but he's got a deceptive shot. So that type of a player, he's almost like a center playing wing, but he is a winger.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, you saw a lot of the Ontario League last weekend. Anybody jump out at you that you're viewing?
I wouldn't say. You know, I went and was watching. I went and watched Oshawa. I went and watched Niagara. I mean, Graham Nott, who I just wanted to see, played on the Ivan Hlinka team. He's out with mono. Vince Dunn is a really good skating, quick defenseman for Niagara. And you think about defensemen in the National Hockey League now. You need to be quick in your feet. You need to be able to beat pressure with your skating and jump into the attack. And certainly Vince Dunn does that. Developmentally, he just got to learn that his skating can be a huge advantage to him defensively. And to use it defensively and to use it to get to a puck quick and then move it quick and get out of the defensive zone. But a terrific skater and a player that really wants to make things happen. And likewise in Ottawa, there is, Oshawa, Mitchell Van Ensemble. And Mitchell is 5'10", 5'10 and a half, but again, exceptional skater. And the thing about Mitchell that to me really stands out, he can make plays on the move and he's always attacking. So he's attacking, yet he's not just what I call a go, go, go defenseman. They're going to go until there's no more play to be made. He's on the move and he can make plays. He can go past you. He can make a pass. He kills penalties as a forward. So that versatility, that understanding of how to be disruptive with his skating and smart enough to understand what patterns opponents are using, to me, are really, really effective. And again, he obviously has to physically mature, but you're seeing defensemen now, if you can skate and you can think and you can compete and guys can't get to you, you're going to have a chance to be a real solid player at the National League level. I certainly feel that way about Mitchell Van Ensemble.
We're entering the time now, you know, a lot of college free agent signings, Craig, and they're bidding on different guys. We've seen a few names. Coming from the college pros, like Danny DeKeyser did it, but there's very few guys that can make an immediate impact right away, even though a lot of them are 21, 22 years of age. Are there any that you like coming out right now?
Let me just set up Danny DeKeyser a little bit too. Danny DeKeyser went undrafted. He played in the USHL and then he went to Western Michigan. And after his freshman year, everybody was after him. He evaluated. He said, "I'm not ready for pro hockey. I need another year of college." He played for Andy Murray at Western Michigan. So he went back for his sophomore year. And again, at the end of his sophomore year, you know, everybody came to call him because he can skate and he can, you know, he's got all those elements that you're watching. But he said, "I'm not quite ready. I need another year."
Mm-hmm.
And he only came out after his junior year. Danny DeKeyser understood that where he was at in the development process, but more importantly, he wanted to master the level he was at. He was good. He was promising. And that's what he wanted to do. And so he took that time. Andy Murray's a terrific coach in my view. So he did that. Then he came out at junior. But by coming out after his junior year, he set himself up to me to, it's not about getting signed coming out of college. It's about, are you going to be able to handle the rigors of pro hockey and set yourself up for the rewards that can come from being more ready than not? And that's what Danny DeKeyser did. You know, Kenny Morrison, the defenseman from Western Michigan, ironically, the Calgary Flames just signed him, and he did the same thing. He could have come out last year, but he waited a year. So, you know, for college free agents, you know, the senior guys, maybe the junior guys are a little bit older, and they're looking and going, okay, maybe this is the best time for me to come out. But I'll give you an example. Matt O'Connor, he's a goaltender. He's a top goaltender at Boston University. He's really developed. But if he decides to leave and turn pro this year, he's essentially got 2 years. And he better show that he's capable of being a good goaltender and can move forward. And because if he doesn't, he's going to get washed out quick.
Yeah.
And Matt O'Connor can come out next year and, you know, be pursued just as hotly because he's a good goaltender. The thing for me is that what these young guys have to do is understand where they're at in terms of their development. So Matt O'Connor's had a good year last year. He's had a really good year this year. And he may think, hey, I'm ready for the next challenge. I may not want to go to class anymore. That's understandable. But I really think for those players, you got to really understand, you know, what's going to set me up for the rewards long term. And the only way you can set yourself up for the rewards long term is to be, you know, ready to turn pro. Because once you turn pro, it's game on. And teams want to know, can you or can't you? And that's where players find it. But, I mean, he's a player that comes to mind there. I mean, Campini from Union. I mean, he's a senior. He just signed with San Jose yesterday. a lot of teams after him. You know, Bond at Colgate, he's a player. Bobby Bond's grandson. You know, a lot of teams are after him. I mean, Evan Rodriguez, who's at BU, he is a senior, so he's going to get signed when he comes out. But you know, you got to be ready. And teams look at it this way, Jason. You're seven rounds in the draft, so now you're looking at a player. He's a little bit older. You only have to commit to him for essentially 2 years where they're coming out, and you know, you can see where a player is at, and you're not, and there might be a greater opportunity for that player to start challenging for a spot on your NHL team sooner rather than later.
Well,
one interesting player, Mike Riley. He was, I believe, a fourth-round draft pick to the Columbus Blue Jackets a few years back out of Shattuck. He went to BC and played with Penticton. They won the RBC Cup. He's a junior now at Minnesota, but the rules of the CBA that apply to him are the same exact ones that apply to Justin Schultz.
Yeah.
If he decides to become a free agent, he will be the most sought-after, coveted free agent this year in NCAA ranks.
Okay. Yeah, because he's at University of Minnesota, right?
Yes, and he's a dynamic offensive defenseman.
Yeah. How's his defensive game?
I don't care. He has the puck on his stick most of the night.
Okay.
You know, Jason, you and I, you know, we're talking about different things. You know, we never jump on the defensive guy that can't make a pass or create offense, but we're ready to jump on the offensive guy that maybe his defense isn't so good. Yeah. I go with the Al Arbor line. When Mike Bossy was in his draft year, he was only coming off of multiple 70-goal seasons, and there was a lot of talk, oh, he's not this, his defense isn't good. Anyway, Bill Torrey went to Al Arbor, and he said, listen, we have a choice of this big, rugged winger. He doesn't score so much. Or the scorer from Quebec, who's a really good scorer, but his defense isn't so good. Al said, give me the scorer, I'll teach him how to check.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. So in the case of Riley, he's like Justin Schultz. That means he can't officially sign right up until right before free agency, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll watch his name. Have you spoke to some people? What do you think the chances are? Does he stay for one final year? Does he come out?
I'll be surprised if he comes out.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'll be surprised if he doesn't come out. Excuse me. Only because these opportunities, I mean, he can essentially pick where he wants to go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he could wait another year and do what Kevin Hayes did after their 4 years of college. You know, you can do that, but you got to wait till August 15th of 2016. I think right now is the time for Mike Riley to lead. He's dominated college hockey, you know, a high scoring, producing defenseman. And, you know, those guys, you know, when you produce and have success at that level, to the extent he has had, I think that he's ready for the next challenge.
And he likely would test the free agent waters rather than sign with Columbus.
Well, I mean, the leverage is that, you know, it looks like he's going to get the max entry level contract. So as a fourth round draft pick, you know, you got to be prepared to offer him that. Right. So
yeah.
I think where Mike will look at it is does Columbus give me the opportunity to really move ahead and be the best player? That's the choice that Mike Riley has. And that's what makes it interesting.
Greg Button joins us. Craig, you're up in, who are you watching this weekend in Quebec?
I'm in Charlottetown. And let me just tell you this. You should see how much snow is here. It's unbelievable. I flew into Halifax. I mean, there's a ton of snow there too, but just, I mean, they're just happy to see the sun and some blue sky. I'm going to watch St. John Sea Dogs play Charlottetown tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going to see St. John play the Halifax Mooseheads. You know, it's for positioning, you know, who you play in the first round of the Quebec League playoffs. They go 1-16, 2-15, et cetera. So teams are looking to try to get themselves in the best position where they might not have to travel from Charlottetown all the way to Rouyn-Noranda. And, you know, with a team like St. John, you know, trying to fight to get the closest matchup. So there's a lot to play for, but, you know, St. John has a whole host of a real good prospects. You know, Thomas Chabot and Jakub Zboril, two defensemen that, you know, I don't see any reason why they won't go in the first round. Daniel Sprong, Philip Schlappick, in Charlottetown, two forwards. Sprong might be one of the most talented players in this draft. So to me, those are players that certainly look to be first rounders. And then you go over to Halifax and Timo Meier, who the Swiss player who, you know, very well could be a top 10 pick. So a real good weekend for me to watch a number of high end players. And those teams have a couple of other players also.
One last one for you, Craig. You know, I saw your rankings came out again, and you know, they're obviously, you're a big fan of Provorov, comparing him and Hanifin and Werenskin. We've done that before. I want to get your thoughts on guys in the 20 to 30 range, and not necessarily that number 20. I know you haven't ranked higher now, but doesn't necessarily mean that he'll be ranked higher at the end of the season. Is there one guy that you have from your 20 to 30 ranking that you like the best and think could be a great late first-round pick?
Yeah, well, you know, that's why, you know, that I am here. You know, big reason I'm here, like, I wanted to come in. I want to see Daniel Sprong play. I've watched him since he was 15 years of age. When I tell you, Jason, that he's high-end skill, I mean, he is. He can handle the puck. He can shoot it. He can skate. He wants a great offense. I mean, Charlottetown is a middle-of-the-pack team. You know, they've had some challenges. And, you know, St. John will post some, you know, those two defensemen, like, I mean, there's a number of defensemen, but those two defensemen, Zboril and Shabbat, playing against a Sprong. You know, they don't, you know, it gives me a really good look to test, to see how those guys match up against Sprong, how Sprong matches up against those guys. But when I look at that much skill, and the thing, and I'll tell you, the thing I need to be careful of, and it's a cautionary tale to myself, is that I remember, I mean, I knew Ryan Getzlaf, watched Ryan Getzlaf, and you watched him and you knew he had all the skill, and you kept saying, okay, what about this? And it's almost like you were trying to find reasons not to like him. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Sprong has that type of high-end skill. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to really try to make sure that, you know what, I'm not, that I'm getting the best picture of him.
Craig, always great to talk to you. Enjoy making some snowmen. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll tweet out some pictures of me doing snow angels.
Do it. Just don't get sunk too deep where you can't get out.
Okay.
Craig Button from TSN.